is CIOI 101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
The following podcast contains defiant content that may be disturbing to some audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Give a fuck what you heard, yeah, fuck what you heard. But it's real shit, get your whole clip to the top. What? But you don't hear me though. Run up bitch to the death that grandma's knees is falling out. What you know about robbery? Hustle bones coming out my mouth. Hustle bones coming out my mouth. Hustle bones coming out my mouth.
Hello, listeners. This is Expect Defiance. It is Tuesday. It is March. Tuesday's everybody's favorite day of the week, but this March might feel pretty darn good for you too. This winter season is soon going to be at its end. I know it's not as fun to have a spring in quarantine time, but it is still something to look forward to. You can get rain boots on. You can go kick wet leaves if you wanna. Look for worms and snails erupting out of the earth. There are a lot of good things to be done in this time of quarantine that you can do with masks and stuff. Yeah, we have new strains coming from everywhere, but we also got vaccines coming from everywhere. So, God willing, things may figure themselves out, and hopefully by March 2nd, 2022, I won't have to talk about this again. I have a guest with me today. This is Chris from Kid Johari. Hello, Chris.
Hello, greetings. I come from Kit Johari.
We come from the far lands of Kit Johari. So we are currently streaming out of the airwaves from Hamilton, Ontario on The Hawk. That's Mohawk College Community Radio. Thank you, The Hawk. You are based in Waterloo, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. I am based in Waterloo.
Water, water, water.
Water, water, water. I got my water in two forms. I got glass of water and I got coffee, which is pretty good right now. You know, it's helping me get through quarantine.
Coffee is a very helpful thing.
It is. Yeah, especially when you want to kick wet leaves and, like, put masks on snails.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do in quarantine. They need to mask up, too, you know? You got to be fair.
It's only fair.
Exactly.
Yeah. Psych.
So you have a new release coming out on Glue Gun Records on March 5th. Could you tell me all about Tango Mango?
Yes, I'll tell you about Tango Mango. It's essentially my new EP, and I've been working on it, well, yeah, for a long time, I guess, because some of the tracks are old and some of the tracks are new. First year of quarantine was pretty rough, so I only ended up making 4 tracks, and those are all on the EP. And yeah, I decided to go a little different with this EP. I decided to try to layer as much stuff as I could together, just have it be an absolute sample fest, and that's why it's called Tango Mango, because there's this album by a band called Can that's called Tago Mago. And that has a lot of early sampling techniques in it, a lot of tape splicing, a lot of different moments merging together. And yeah, that's the idea with this release. There's 6 songs on it. I made a really cool music video with Aaron Corbett, who's a fantastic video artist and musician themselves. And yeah, I'm super excited to be releasing this. It's feels like my strongest work so far.
Awesome. I'm looking at your album art here, and it seems to be reflecting this collage element. It's a very, very beautiful album art.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I made that myself. I like the collage aspect of it. It definitely kind of speaks for how I make my music. As well as some of the elements visually on the art itself reflect in the music itself as well. Because there's like little bits of film framing everything, and there's plenty of film samples scattered throughout that EP for sure.
Right. So what are some of the soundscapes or, film samples or audio samples that you chose to put in the pot for this one?
Just a whole whack load of stuff. There's this Howard Hawks film from 1944 with Cary Grant called His Girl Friday that I sample on the second track. And that film's just famous for just really just quick dialogue. It's just zooming at 100 miles an hour. In 5 minutes, you've gone from A to Z and back. I sampled a dialogue from the Monkees film that was directed by Dennis Hopper called Head. There's a scene where Davy Jones does this big musical number, and it's all hoity-toity, and he's dressed in a tuxedo, and it's all glamorous and super, super, just the 60s in a nutshell.
Right.
And then he walks off of the film set, and Frank Zappa has a cow on a leash, and Frank is just like, "Oh, you've been really working on your dance moves there."
That is pretty cool.
And Davey's like, "Yeah, I have." And he's just like, "Yeah, sounds pretty white." And he's like, "Well, so am I. What can I say?"
What are some of the records or musicians and compositions that you took liberty with?
There's plenty of Brazilian stuff. Like, I'd say like almost half of the samples are from Brazilian jazz artists. Like, there's this drummer called Ida Ribeiro that I'm super into. He's a contemporary jazz drummer, in fact. He's around right now. And I comb through his YouTube channel and just find all sorts of, instructional videos and just take grooves from that. I take grooves from, like, I sample Can. I'll just start naming artists.
Yeah.
Like, Can, Charles Mingus, Gong, Tetsuro Yamashita, Gong.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
For sure.
Who else? Just all sorts of stuff, really. It's a lot of jazz. I take a lot of jazz and try to just shift it into something that doesn't sound as jazzy, at least guess traditionally.
Mm. Do you have a background with jazz music?
I just really like it. My dad's a jazz musician, so I was always around.
Right.
I was always listening to it growing up, and I've actually hosted a jazz radio program for like a good 7 or 8 months in 2019. And I would guess that probably like a fifth of my record collection is jazz.
Right.
Probably even more, maybe like a quarter.
Well, there's some of the best players out are in jazz, so it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, definitely, and it's such a unique American art form. It's really cool. In a lot of ways, it functions on similar principles to what I'm doing, because when jazz first started, it was like this fusion of like march music and classical influence and ragtime, and it just in the blues, and it just took all of these things and just morph them into this new creature, which by today's standards sounds like hoity-toity, but back then it was absolutely unthinkable.
Right.
Like, can you imagine people being like, "Oh my God, this jazz music is syncopation gone wrong. This is the devil's music," and the stuff just like,
right,
and everyone's like, "Oh no,
yeah,
freaking out."
It truly was a dangerous music. Yeah. And it's kind of weird to look back and see how that was culturally like seen. Even early rock and roll, it was like that was dangerous music.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a racial element to that, because obviously, oddly enough, every time people are up in arms about a certain type of music, it's just it's people of color who are making it. And all
are you sure?
The devil's music.
I've heard people talk about the ills of polka for many years.
Yeah, polka's very, arguably the most dangerous kind of music.
Yeah, man. One of those chicken dances and you'll jump off a cliff, I hear.
I mean, yeah. How many, like, weird Al Yankovic record burnings have you been doing? I mean, they're always happening.
They always are. Yeah. So you were a drummer as well as a producer.
That's right, yeah. In fact, I think I've been a drummer objectively longer than I've been a producer.
Right. I know you are known as a drummer. And who have you played with over the years?
Oh, my first band was called Civil, just sort of this math rock thing. It just four dudes who didn't know what they were doing. Everyone's first band kind of vibe.
Was it an like emo-esque math rock thing?
It's all over the place. Right. Like, it was just this massive collusion of a bunch of people who thought they knew what they were doing.
Yes. I'm familiar with that vibe.
Yeah. I was in another band called Yonder Peak for, I don't know, about like 4 years. And that was like this kind of like Mars Volta, Queens of the Stone Age, kind of proggy.
Gotcha.
Kind of all over the place thing. We used to do like Death Grips covers and Melvin's covers. Like, it was a strange band, but it definitely hit. I kind of missed that band.
Cool.
I played with Other Families for like a good year. They're a cool outfit out of Mississauga. They've been at it for like probably 10 years now. Actually,
wow.
Jeez, the time flies. Yeah, I was also in this band called Toucan Slam, which was like this two-piece drum and bass thing with an old friend of mine. We actually ended up touring the States. That was super fun. And yeah, and then I moved to Waterloo, and I joined a bunch of bands. I was in a band called Father Bodies, which is like this punk kind of thing. I was in this one-off band called Steve Dave, and I don't even remember the name. We only played one show.
Those things come together sometimes, and they help you grow, and then you just disappear. It works.
Yeah, exactly. Like I met the guitarist of Karloff through being in that one-off band. Karloff is the main band I play in right now. We're like this kind of scramsy, but also kind of mathy, all over the place, but really chaotic band. I'm also in this improv band called Yum Dumpster with Dan from Baby Labor.
Yes, I do know you guys. You guys are cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's the best band because we don't rehearse. We just show up and we just act weird on stage, and people seem to dig it, and it's great. There's no effort involved. We just show up and we just play. It's great. I love it. I miss it.
Right.
Actually. there's another band I'm forgetting, I feel. But whatever, we don't need the entire cross-section of musical history here.
So, Karloff, you guys are working on something, eh?
We just recorded. We recorded our full-length in December. It's actually mixed and mastered now. Jack Shirley from Comadre mastered it. And Marcel, our guitarist, she mixed it and recorded it herself. And, it's been a long time coming. We've been working on those songs for, like, almost 2 years now. But we wanted to do everything ourselves, so it took longer, but we're all pleased with the result. It's going to be coming out on our singer's label, No Funeral Records, and a bunch of other labels. I don't know, we're still figuring all that stuff out, but we're trying to get it on vinyl. We actually recorded an Elliott Smith cover that's going to be on our singer's label as well, on this Elliott Smith cover compilation record. We did Roman Candle.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We kind of made this weird punk, kind of black metal, kind of post-rock. I don't know, it's all over the place. It's great. It was fun.
I love that. That's, you guys are going to put out a labor of love, and those are always the stuff that moves your heart, and like, you know, you can really feel identified with the record. That's how I feel about doing stuff yourself anyway. It's just different from, letting it go a bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's also stuff that can stop your heart.
right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, speaking of hearts, when you were making Tango Mango, what were you thinking of conveying? Are there themes that you have either consciously thought, or just what was your process like emotionally in that work? What do you want people to take from it?
Well, I don't know. I don't, like, I have a strong emotional connection to the music in a way, but when I'm making it, I kind of zone out and just like fall into this flow state and I'm not really thinking of anything. I'm just, like, in audio mode, trying to, like, see what sounds good at first. Then I kind of, like, the meaning comes from it after that, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That wasn't phrased correctly, but the meaning gets derived after I've made the, like, nugget and core of the song itself. Then I start adding all of, like, the vocal samples and stuff, and I start thinking, oh, okay, you know, I start vibing with what I've created, because, you know, I don't know, I never go into something with, like, a whole plan figured out. Sometimes right. I do. Sometimes I want to, like, alternate a sample a certain way, or mess with, like, the time signatures. Like, there's this one song I took that was in 7, what I did was I just kept cutting out 8 beats out of the 7 and just adding a 4 onto that with drums, and it worked out fantastically. But, you know, if you listen to the original song, it's hard to, like, connect that with what I created. But, yeah, rarely do I approach anything with, like, a grand concept. Right. I'm usually just...
It's your ears are tingling, and you're just playing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I kind of zone into things that way. And then, yeah, the meaning comes after. I add all that stuff in after, and it speaks for itself after a while, you know? It's not like I'm just, like, artificially injecting meaning into something. Like, I listen to what it is I made, and I'm like, okay, this is how it makes me feel, you know?
It's, right.
I guess that is a process of sorts, but, yeah.
Very cool. What is a track you'd like me to spin first? I'm going to be spinning Tango Mango in its entirety. What should we lead this interview off with, Chris?
You should start with the first song, Carlsbad Sunset 76. It's got good opening vibes.
Strong. All right, this is 76, Carlsbad Sunset by Kit Johari.
minute. I'm not Sweeney, I'm Duffy.
Listen, Sweeney, you can't do that to me. Not today of all days.
What's the matter with you? Are you loony?
Jumping, Jehoshaphat. Now listen, Sweeney, this is no time. Oh, all right, I suppose so. Yes, if you have to, you have to.
He had to.
How do you like that? Everything happens to me.
Weakness the day that Babylon shall fall.
Good afternoon. Daylight time will be 12:38 and 57.
my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Aquela coisa do tropicalismo foi uma jogaça. Pra mim, então, mais do que. Tem impressão que mais do que pra todos. Eu nem liguei em Gal. Especialmente Gal, ele não
era
só
você mesmo.
E eu, até mais eu, né?
É.
Então foi uma coisa só de paixão absoluta pela expressão, pela coisa da música, pelos compromissos com a sedução.
No lugar de onde a gente chegou, né? Os problemas que a gente tem que enfrentar.
Of the planet. Nobody else can tell you, everybody got their own way to do it. Now if you want to know just how the tune into the vibes of the planet.
Nobody else can tell you. Everybody got their own way to do it.
With Called the World is an opportunity to exhibit how exciting alienation can be.
Making fun of me again today. Yeah.
We bring that swing feel down to Brazil.
And that was an EP called Tango Mango by Kit Johari. Fantastic joint, man. Really cool stuff. Take a listen. Go download it. Purchase it. Go on Glue Gun Records Bandcamp. That's Glue Gun Records from Brampton, Ontario. And check out the new EP by Kit Johari. Thank you for listening. Expect Defiance. Denzel Gordon signing off. I'll be leaving you with the sweet sounds of Boredoms. This project is called Wow 2. Good night.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey! Yeah. Hehehehe.